Welcome back to Words Accompanied by the Spirit. This is episode 292, entitled, What is Time to an Infinite God? What is time to an omnipresent God? What is time to the Creator who lives outside of time? To the God who created time. I want to attempt to put it in perspective for you because as a nurse, I see flippant people with a blatant disregard for their lives. So cunning and manipulative as if they have all the time in the world. Those who have been deceived by the devil and pastors who refuse to or don't know and understand the concept of time as explained in God's Word. I want to start with the most egregious and deceitful lie that began in the garden with Satan's interaction with Eve. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Many people and things worship Satan, but as men, I want you to understand the foolishness in doing so. In believing that Satan will honor you and share his corrupt, perverse form of glory with you. As you read how Adam and Eve were deceived, meditate on this. And in that garden, the Lord God caused to grow from the ground every tree that is desirable and pleasing to the sight and good, suitable, pleasant for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the experiential knowledge, recognition of the difference between good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, the Amplified Version. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 of the King James Version. Meditate on this question. Why didn't Satan encourage Eve to eat of the tree of life? If it was ever his plan to help any man escape the judgment that would come upon the wicked, disobedient, and unbelieving. If it was ever his intent to help them be as gods. Satan knows the character of God. Satan knows that this is not inclusive of the power that he himself has been given. He does not control the eternal. Only God does. God is not a liar, and that is why his word is so powerful. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree. tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 to 24 of the King James Version. At one point, I pondered that Satan could have just thought that if he tricked them into eating from the tree of life, then they would torment the most holy God forever. But just as there are dimensions and an eternal separation, you cannot defeat the supreme tactician, who can and will withdraw his presence from evil, even in the end of days. You are God's creation. Satan has his own created things, but he cares for nothing, least of all you. Satan's intent was to always destroy you and that you would perish. He had no need to eat of the tree. He already has eternal life in the form of damnation and a fiery lake. If this doesn't enlighten some, then it should be clear to you that even as you were called, you were not chosen. Had a loving father not put Adam and Eve out of that garden, there would be no eternal life with him. No one would be saved. Even in his cunning, Satan could never defeat God and is not sovereign. God is omnipresent and omnipotent. Satan pales in comparison because even when he thinks that he can defeat God in anything, God proves from the start that no being or entity can defeat the master of all creation. Do you ever wonder why Eve referred to him as God, and he is, but not as her father? It would make you ask if Satan had been setting them up and had approached them before this. I don't believe he just came to them out of the blue, but was stealthily laying his trap. This is how easily we are beguiled when we don't take the time to know and immerse ourselves in how loving the Heavenly Father is. The supreme strategist. But this isn't always the case, because you can try to love individuals that are so broken and they desire to inflict pain and injury and destruction on those who love them. This is because they refuse to seek help for the healing that is needed in their own lives. When you look up the term for a broken person, it describes someone whose ability to function normally is impaired due to severe, enduring emotional, psychological, or physical trauma. Other synonyms used are traumatized, disenfranchised, dysregulated, depleted, shattered, spent, and damaged. Because trauma comes in multiple constructs stemming from various forms of ordeals. But here is the promise. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 of the King James Version. I digress and want to go back to the original point that I intended to make. The deceitful misconception of time that makes men think in this manner. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 4 of the King James Version. You are willingly ignorant to think that the God who created time, who has no beginning or end, would calculate and experience time as a man. The God who lives outside of time. So when he told Adam that the day he ate of that fruit, he would surely die, he did. Adam died that same day. What you fail to recognize is this. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5 of the King James Version. When you realize that God's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish is according to the finite man. But on his time, judgment is coming swiftly, as it says throughout his word. Take this literally, even as it was revealed to Moses. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Psalm chapter 90, verse 4 of the King James Version. When his servants give a prophetic word, many have the fallible mindset of a mere man. If it doesn't happen immediately in our time, we begin to doubt, mock, and scoff to our own detriment. This is utter foolishness to those of us who serve an infallible God. As we begin in the second chapter of the book of Joshua, I had a hard time finding how it relates to my life and what God was attempting to teach me, hence the title. But God is actually steering the focus towards mercy. Here are a few scriptures that I want to focus on. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 of the King James Version. And again, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 of the King James Version. I had an altercation with someone close to one of my children that became very heated. And I know that what the Lord had been telling me and showing me about this person was true. But God is so merciful, loving, and faithful, commanding that his children remain pure. It does not mean to allow the truth to be obscured or set aside, because he is a spirit who must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. But we are to remember that he will guide us in our interactions with all men, even those who would present themselves as an enemy, becoming adversaries to us. As the Holy Spirit is speaking, this is where we really learn to trust him. He is protecting us from hard, impenitent, and unforgiving hearts. Immediately after the incident, I came home and sought the Holy Spirit in this matter, and I will admit that I was confused at first. So let me explain why many of us use confusion as an excuse, particularly when applying it to the word of the Lord. It is because it convicts us directly going against our carnal and fleshly nature as God is correcting us. In our stubbornness, we don't want to receive the word and what is holy conduct and behavior in the eyes of our God, even as his word says to be angry but sin not. God's word will always bring clarity in its pure form. So the Spirit took me to the book of Jonah, and I read chapters 3 and 4. You should also. And emphasis was given to me in these that I will place right here. The emphasis is on chapter 4, showing how we really feel in believing we have a right to choose who we should be able to forgive. We don't want God to show mercy to those who offend us, as if God won't perform his word even against his children for not showing mercy. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. But to the one who has shown mercy, mercy triumphs victoriously over judgment. James chapter 2, verse 13 of the Amplified Version. Now here is Jonah's reaction after the people of Nineveh repented, and the Lord's answer to him. So bear with me because the whole chapter is relevant. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still in my country? That is why I ran to Tarshish, because I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. And when sinners turn to you, you revoke the sentence of disaster against them. Therefore now, O Lord, just take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." When Jonah said this, he was attempting to manipulate the Lord by asking God to do him harm, knowing God's mercy, as if Jonah could control the narrative. Attempting to gaslight an omnipotent God as if his life was worth more than the many that God wanted to save. He wanted to see whether he could coerce God into changing the outcome. Then the Lord said, "Do you have a good reason to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat east of it. There he made himself a shelter and sat under its shade so that he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord prepared a plant in his mercy, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to spare him from discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the protection of the plant. but God prepared a worm when the morning dawned the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. To allow Jonah to develop empathy and to understand how quickly time and chance can happen to us all. When the sun came up, God prepared a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he fainted and he wished to die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have a good reason to be angry about the loss of the plant?" And he said, "I have a very good reason to be angry. Angry enough to die." As the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, I feel as if many will be asked this question. Those who attempt to commit genocide, familicide, and open murder. Do you have a good reason for what you have done? Because most of your reasons are as pathetic as Jonah's, but your mindset is the same. Then the Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight." Just as so many people have compassion on animals, pets, and many forms of life, with the exception of a man that is made in God's image. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 innocent persons who do not know the difference between their right hand and left hand and are not yet accountable for sin, as well as many blameless animals? Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 of the Amplified Version. He put the people first before the animals. Now, many people, even you who attempt to hide the fact that other nations attempted to civilize you, who will put forth the notion that others are inferior to you and that you therefore have a right to play God. But God is also saying here that you did not create them. You did not set the appointed time and boundaries for any man that is in this earth. So what makes you believe in your deceived hearts that you have the right to say who lives or dies? So let me put this right here: as a people who continually commit the five recognized acts of genocide, and these are a semblance of the true characteristics of racism, not as you use the word racist in willing ignorance. Number one, killing members of a specific group with a specific intent to eliminate them. Number two, causing serious bodily or mental harm by inflicting severe physical and or psychological abuse, including torture, rape, and systemic trauma. Number three, deliberately inflicting conditions of life to bring about their physical destruction by the deprivation of basic needs, including food, water, shelter, and medical services, with the intent to cause mass death. Number four, imposing measures intended to prevent births within a group by policies, including forced sterilizations, forced abortions, and sexual violence. And number 5, forcibly transferring children of one group to another by taking them away from their families and communities, erasing their cultural and ethnic identities. A blueprint developed by Satan and carried out wholly and enthusiastically by many, not only being done throughout history, but even now in this current administration at very egregious levels. Acts that are supposed to be prohibited. But God will not be mocked. It is a spiritual mandate that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So don't ever take God's mercy for weakness or slackness. For those who are afflicted, God remains compassionate and forgiving. And because we all have sinned and fallen short of His glory, know this. It is because of the Lord's loving kindnesses, His mercies, that we are not consumed, because His tender compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great and beyond measure is your faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23 of the Amplified Version. I felt as if during the altercation, it was important that I did not sin with my mouth. And I was led to place this here by the Holy Spirit. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 of the King James Version. You may think that this seems hypocritical, but vengeance belongs to the Lord, and He will repay it. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 of the King James Version. When we inquire of the deeper meaning of these scriptures, we are taught that in order to facilitate the promises of God, actions are required. Joshua was commanded to be of a good courage. There was a level of faith that was needed for these 2 men to go into enemy territory alone. Rahab lived in a city that was doomed to experience the wrath of God. they were destined for destruction. But this God that she did not know and only heard about ignited her faith in him. She believed in her heart and it would save her entire family. And because of her faith, she became directly elected into the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Her past was irrelevant in the sight of God, but her spiritual surrender and absolute trust in him opened up blessings that she could not have foreseen. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. So she said, "Yes, two men came to me, but I did not know where they are from. When it was time to close the city gate at dark, the men left. I do not know where they went. Pursue them quickly, for if you do, you will overtake them." But in fact, she had brought the scouts up to the roof and had hidden them under the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof to dry. So the king's men pursued them on the road to the Jordan as far as the fords east of Jericho. As soon as the pursuers had gone out after them, the gate of the city was shut. Joshua chapter 2, verses 4 to 7 of the Amplified Version. Rahab had the wherewithal to know that those gates were a death trap for the two men once they had closed and been locked, because they would be under constant surveillance and not easily scalable. She was very observant of her surroundings and the different operations and ordinances of the city. She saved their lives by hiding them. It took patience, resolve, and courage for all parties involved. It is by divine intervention that they would decide to even go to her house. God was going to deliver Jericho into the hands of the Israelites. But what if Rahab lacked faith? What if she had been immobilized by fear? I want you to remember this, even for those who refuse to do what is right and their lives are not at stake. Because Rahab's life was in danger, the safety of her entire family was in jeopardy. Even out of jealousy, envy, and greed, whatever the motive, God will make a way when it is of him, and the consequences for those unbelievers may be unfathomable, affecting them for generations. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther chapter 4, verses 13 to 14 of the King James Version. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt." When their enemies thought that they were trapped and had no way of escape, "and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, the Nephilim, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 of the King James Version. I want to digress for a moment. A while back, we were given a warning from Celestial that true angels of God would never interact with men without permission from the Heavenly Father. She pointed this out because we have a proclivity to want to feel as if we are special. And this will leave many vulnerable when Satan and his beings come as angels of light. And as I was seeking God for direction in this post, I ran across scriptures that confirm this. That above all, the angels follow the commandment of the Lord, whether to help men or to destroy him and any entity that goes against the living God. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him. You see, Joshua saw a man, but watch the change in his attitude and demeanor when he realizes it is the angel of the Lord. And take heed to how the angel responds to him. And Joshua said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15 of the King James Version. Yet I digress. This is Rahab speaking. Now therefore I pray you, Swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, Our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us this land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Joshua chapter 2, verses 12 to 14 of the King James Version. If you have read or listened to my last post, there is a lot of emphasis placed on faith and courage. Rahab was sacrificing her life and the lives of her loved ones. Her faith in a God that she did not know and only heard of surpassed the faith of the Israelites who lived right under the teachings and authority of the men that God put over them. Even today, Rahab moved with a belief, hope, and assurance that the same God would be merciful to her. As it is written, By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 of the King James Version. The Amplified Version stated that by faith, She was not destroyed along with those who were disobedient, because she welcomed the spies in peace. God's fame and renown had went ahead of his people. I am going to deviate again to a recent situation about 16 children found in squalid conditions, experiencing the most horrific abuses imaginable. And I want you to watch Celestial's video, Prophecy Fulfilled, Evil Hidden in Plain Sight. Because the Holy Spirit has impressed upon me that this evil runs deep. You can see the spirit of incest on these people, and the Lord is saying that it spans generations. And as Celestial prophesied about the three groups that people encompassed, she answered my question when I said, how could nobody have known? And even excused and condoned this pure evil. The word spoken to me was a compromised system. Because how is it that anyone has immunity or is offered plea agreements for breaking laws, except to allow evil to continue? To be complicit and complacent in a matter as you do the bare minimum. Depravity that is allowed and presented to you in movies such as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Hills Have Eyes. Ordained and orchestrated by Satan, because let's be real, these are a feral people who literally couldn't find their way out of a paper bag. It is the cunning of the enemy. Then she, Rahab, let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Joshua chapter 2, verses 15 to 21 of the King James Version. Rahab put the scarlet thread up immediately afterward. She did not wait to speak with her family members to see if it was okay, nor did she allow herself to get distracted. She moved in righteous fear, not doubting that God would perform the things spoken through those men. She was aware that the oath was a sacred, binding commitment witnessed by God Himself. Binding, trustworthy, and irrevocable. And the boundaries were established. Just as God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Throughout his word, he has established barriers that are not to be crossed for the innocent and the guilty. From the initial separation of light from darkness, as only a loving father can. So as I close, let me leave you with just a few moments in history. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite, to slay you. Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 to 23 of the King James Version. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 to 23 of the King James Version. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maid servants that is behind the mill, and the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 to 7 of the King James Version. The angel of God, who had been going in front of the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud moved from in front and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud with darkness even by day to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites. So one army did not come near the other all night. Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 to 20 of the Amplified Version. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they went in, went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Genesis chapter 7, verses 13 to 16 of the King James Version. And even as we were given the foundation of all God's laws and the Ten Commandments, Jesus not only told that he would not do away with any of these commands, but went on to radically raise the bar. By internalizing the law, he did away with man's ability for justification as a hearer only, but supplemented the law with higher ethical standards, making the expectation of holy and righteous living more stringent with stricter morality, elevating principles and accountability. Laws that are impossible to keep as haters of God who are fearful and cowardly while lacking moral courage. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 32 of the King James Version. Because of this, it is impossible for many to fulfill his command to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Bitter and sweet cannot flow from the same fountain. And already the axe of God's judgment is swinging toward the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10 of the Amplified Version. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Joshua chapter 2, verses 22 to 24 of the King James Version. As I close, I feel the need to add that mockers and scoffers abound. They will kill God's people and think that they are offering service to him. But there is a core principle in this. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12 of the King James Version. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Revelations chapter 21, verse 8 of the King James Version. Be strong in the Lord. Cleave unto him and lean not into your own understanding. Put on your whole armor so that you may stand against the wiles of the devil and hear the promise of the Lord. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him in my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7 of the King James Version. Always coming from a place of love and in truth. And again, I humbly offer you some additional resources as the Lord is bringing them to me. As this prophet has described, given to her from God, so that you may prepare for what is to come. The end times are upon us, and because of my love for the Lord and my family and for you, and the great sorrow that I feel as I see those around me walking in oblivious darkness and untruths, I feel compelled to provide Celestial's teachings to you. The links are not referenced on the blogs, but are available on the blog/podcast pages of my site at benevolentwoman.com. For the revelation of true end times prophecy, please visit Celestial's site, the Master's Voice Prophecy Blog. Also, if you desire a deeper revelation of who you are as a people, visit School of the Hebrews with Pastor Omar Tebow, a man of God. And when you need help with praying effectively and with fire, as it is written, the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Visit Saturday Recharge with Sister J, or J for Jesus. God is calling his people. Thank you again. Thank you.